All right, it's not very often that the pastor calls and says, can you take the service this Sunday? So we're about to watch a teaching, a video from a young man named Carl Kirby Jr. He's going to discuss the content of modern video games. His discussion is primarily focused on our primary focus, which is spiritual deception. But I also want to carefully warn you about other very bad stuff that is in modern video games. In some of these games, your character is able to delve into immorality. The pre-programmed dialogue can be absolutely vile. Pastor Kevin strongly suggests or cautions you to avoid these games altogether. So, for the rest of you, if you are asked or are thinking of purchasing a video game as a gift, understand the rating before you do it. Carl Jr. will explain about the rating systems in the teaching. Okay. While you watch, consider if these things that he's discussing just happened to get into the game, or if they were intentionally and purposely put in the game. And I've already got an answer for that. Notes, there will be question and answer period for this video, but you're going to have to come to a Sunday evening service and have that with Pastor Kevin. Also, Jeremy has copies of this video if you want it, and it'll be on the back table, and they're going to be $5 each. Okay? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you would prepare the hearts our hearts for this instruction, that we could reason together the things of this world that may be harmful to ourselves, our witness, and the people around us. I thank you for providing the watchmen who bring these things to light that we may guard ourselves from them. And I also thank you for your loving kindness and your mercy, that you would continue to give us correction, that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it, until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Put my dad up here. So Apologetics, ministry I'm a part of. Apologetics, media. We've combined the two together, teaching people how to think, not what to think. Critically evaluating what the world is throwing at us. Pretty excited last weekend. We were officially approved for a 501c3. So this is actually our first event as an official ministry. So another reason to be nerve-wracked, but again, I'm not going to mention it one more time. I want to get into the Word and get into a topic that a lot of people aren't talking about. You see, my father always taught me, you can only talk about what you know about. So I didn't want to become a creation evolution speaker. I didn't want to speak on issues that I didn't know a lot about. But God did give me a passion for media. That's why I went to school for it. I studied it. I wanted to be a filmmaker. And one thing that my friends loved and I loved to do was video games. My first memory in life, I was 4 years old. Okay, 4 years old, I was dropped off at a daycare in the morning. And so this daycare had a playground, it had an art room, but in the corner of the room it had a old tube TV with a regular Nintendo Entertainment System hooked up to it with the game Mario on it. And see, I had a blast playing it. I played it every day. And I'd fight Goombas and Koopa Troopas and save the princess at the end. So my mom would pick me up. She'd pick me up from the daycare and she said, what did you do today? And I said, Mario and I, we went on an adventure. And I'd tell her all these stories about the adventures Mario and I went on. And she thought Mario was another kid in the preschool class. And so she was just confused. It went over her head. She was like, what is my son talking about? Who's Mario? You see, when she found out I was talking about a video game character, it didn't bother her. You see, 63% of all parents believe that video games are a positive part of their child's life. And you know what? I don't want to just talk about the bad today. I want to talk about the good, the bad, but especially the Bible, which we need to go into. Okay, but I do see some of the positives in video games. My father had it in a public room. I'd sit down with him. We'd play games. He made sure that I spent my time doing my homework, reading the Bible, getting all my chores done before I got the chance to play. And I had my time monitored. And so it's good memories, spending time with my father, my friends. And it was a special event when I did get to play with my friends. But you look at some statistics. I know I don't like them. But the average time a gamer spends playing video games is 18 hours a week. The only reason why I bring that up is because that's me personally. That was me. You see, when I left the home and I went on my own, I bought every paycheck went towards buying new video games. And I'd spend 18 plus hours a week playing video games. 65% of U.S. households are playing games. And so a lot of you in here today may be like, why do I have to listen about video games? I'm at the Berean Call Conference. I don't want to hear about that. But I guarantee you, all of you in here know someone that is a gamer. Have someone in the family, a friend, someone close to you that is in it. And so we have to be aware of what's going on in that world so we can talk to them and teach them. See, my father writes in the book, Remote Control, The Power of Hollywood on Today's Culture. Instead of running and hiding from things in the culture, my wife, so my mom, and I chose to teach our children how to think critically. I think that's key. I think it's key that we teach our children how to evaluate the messages coming in and going to the Word of God and having answers. And we have to teach our children how to do that. See, after college, I got my media arts degree. One of my first jobs after college is I worked at a laser tag center. I mean, this is a dream job for a single male. It had an inflatables room, laser tag arena, arcade. But one of my specific jobs is I actually built a video game room for birthday parties. So I bought all these TVs, hooked all the video games up. All I needed was a game. So I went to the store, and I talked to the guy at the store, and I said, hey, I'm building this room, and the average age of the birthday party is about 8 years old. What are moms buying their children? What kind of games should I buy? And I remember the way the guy answered me. He kind of had his hands in his pocket, shoulders slouched, eyes down, and he said, well, moms are buying their kids Grand Theft Auto 4 and Gears of War 2. And I was like, wait. I think you misunderstood my question. I was asking what's appropriate. And he was like, that's what they're buying. That's what you asked me. So I was like, you know what? I am not going to buy those games. I know enough about that world that those aren't really appropriate for that age. So I bought some game with Lego characters and pinata animals, and I set the birthday party. First birthday party, they signed up. Average age was about 8 to 9 years old. Okay, the age I was talking about. And I'm running this birthday party, proud of all the hard work I had done. And so the kids start sitting down playing these games that I bought, and I remember the response. I'll never forget it. The little kid picks up the controller, he turns over, looks at mom and says, Mom, what is this? This is a kid's game. I don't want to play this for my birthday. Where's, no joke, Grand Theft Auto 4 and Gears of War 2. He mentioned the two exact games as that guy at the store had mentioned. And so my boss said, hey, Carl, you're going to have to go buy those games for these birthday parties. And I had a big disagreement with my boss, and I'll just say I didn't have a job there much longer. Because I went and started doing research on these games, and this is how my research began. And I went to the Grand Theft Auto 4 website, and I said, I don't feel comfortable with 8-year-olds playing this. And so I saw a little video clip, and this is what it showed. Jesus, he did some crazy stuff too. I mean, everyone does. He killed people. He killed that John the Baptist cat. He did what he had to. Now, I'm very fortunate that I'm in a room full of Bereans, because a lot of times I have to explain the scripture into detail and say, no, Jesus did not kill anyone. And you want to believe how many people just hear something and accept it as truth. And so what did I have to do? I heard this quote. Yes, my father taught me a lot. Yes, I knew the answer in my head, but I said, you know what? I'm going to go to the Word of God and just do a little bit of studying on this. And this is what I want to teach the younger generation in this room. If you start hearing something in the media and video games from your friends, don't just accept it as truth. Go to the Word of God, the one truth. And so I asked myself the question, did Jesus kill John the Baptist? Sometimes you're going to get some very difficult questions. And other times, they're very easy like this. You just got to open up the Bible, read Mark chapter 6, and you find out that the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, John the Baptist, and he went and beheaded him in the prison. So no, Jesus did not kill anyone. Read the Bible, you'll find those answers. And so we have to start thinking critically like that, because you wouldn't believe the messages are seeping in through everywhere nowadays. You have to always be on your toes. Yeah, you may ban video games, but then it'll come from television. You may ban television, it'll come from a billboard. You want to believe the messages on billboards I've seen? So we can run all you want, but you have to teach your children how to have answers. They're going to have a friend, challenge them. They're going to have someone. But back to video games for a little bit. You see, video games have a rating system. Okay, very similar to what the movies have. You see a rated E up there. That's like a rated G movie. Rated E10+, that's like a PG. T, PG-13, M, that's like a rated R. Now, I was really upset about those games being played because they're rated M games. They have the same language, violence, even nudity. Video games have that as any rated R movie. And so that's what really bothered me when they started doing that. But our younger children are playing these M-rated games. Go into any video game store and you look at all the top sellers, and almost all of them are rated M. 50% of young players, 8 to 12, admit to playing M-rated games. 79% of teens admit to playing M-rated games. You don't need a statistic to show you that. Just go to any school and talk. I've had teachers talk to me. Yeah, Carl, you're right on. Every single one of my kids in my classroom are playing these games. But so I don't really want to focus today on sex, language, and violence. I don't. That's not on my radar today. Why not? Well, because parents, if you're buying video games for your kids, we have a rating system that can educate you. It'll tell you what level of language, sex, and violence. If you flip over the box, look at the back, it will tell you what's in there. Take advantage of that. But see, I want to talk about something a little bit deeper and a little bit darker today, because yes, sex, language, and violence is rated, but what about the messages that are being taught in them? They're not. You may buy a game rated E, a G movie worth, that has some stuff in there that you're not going to agree with. And so don't trust in a rating system to tell you that it's going to be safe for your child. And that's what I want to challenge you on. Always be aware of the messages and make sure that you're being the parent and teaching your children. You see, before 1995, a lot of people in here think video games. They start thinking Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, all these games that definitely didn't have a message in them. And just a little dot moving around on the screen like Pong. So you're kind of confused when I start talking about messages in video games. But times have changed. They're not just pixelated dots on the screen anymore. And see, when I looked at all the games I played growing up in that preschool and until 1995, I had a lot of trouble finding spiritual messages in video games. Why? Well, because Nintendo determined what came to the stateside. Okay, Nintendo of America. And so they put a very strict video game guideline banning any game talking about sex, any game talking about religion, anything they felt would be offensive, because they were a Japanese company and they didn't want the Americans to be afraid of the Japanese. But what's interesting, if you do go to Japan and you look at the games, you find spiritual messages everywhere. So it's changed after 1995. You see, I'll get a little political on you. 1995, the year Mortal Kombat came out. That game got all over the news for its violence. And so the government people got together, Joe Lieberman, Hillary Clinton, they said, "Video game companies, if you don't start rating the games, we're going to shut you down." So Nintendo backed out. They started the ESRB I just talked about, and that's how they started filtering the games. And so what happened, Nintendo was banning all the spiritual messages in games. They backed out, and that's why you see all the spiritual messages in games today, because all they have to do is put a rating on it, and the consumers don't care. Want some examples? Let's go through the history, and that's what I do through my book that I wrote that is available through the Berean Call. Before 1995, if you were to play a game, you wouldn't hear much about the Bible. Yes, The Legend of Zelda does have a book called The Magic Book, but if you looked at the original Japanese translation, it said Bible. And so Castlevania had a Bible they could use as a weapon against Dracula. Now, these are not Christian games. But at least the Bible was being used to defeat evil, because in old games, the Bible is actually a weapon that was used to destroy evil. But if you look at the Bible today in video games, the Bible is destructive. And a book of lies in almost all the games that you look through. Some examples, Xenogears, the Bibles of Weapons of Mass Destruction, Final Fantasy Tactics, portrays the church as changing the Bible to get people to blindly follow them. But let's look at a game called Assassin's Creed. This is a popular game. You'll see people wearing t-shirts on it. If you talk to a gamer, they know about Assassin's Creed. It's one of the top 10 selling franchise series out there right now. The first one was released in 2006. You control a character named Desmond Miles. And what happens is he is set up on a machine from a doctor who lets him relive the memories of his past ancestors. I know, I'm talking gamer talk, and a lot of you guys are like, "Oh, I don't know what's going on." Just listen to the clip and kind of see what it's like to play the game.
"Anyone can write a book, and they can put whatever they want on its pages. Anything. Used to be we thought the world was flat."
"Some people still do."
"Yes, and they publish books about it. Or that the moon landing was a hoax. I believe there's also a book claims the world was created in 7 days. A bestseller, too."
"Where's this going, Doc?"
"The point, I suppose, is that you shouldn't trust everything you hear, everything you read."
All right, I have to be honest with you, sidetracked for a little bit. This video footage that you just saw was me actually playing the game and recording it. You see, back in 2006, I got this brilliant idea. You see, my dad has been in a ministry for a long time, and I was like, Dad, you know, I want to play these games. I want to play these games, but I know I really shouldn't, but I have a brilliant idea. I'm going to play these games for research. That way I'm glorifying God playing these games, and then I can just give them to my dad and let him use them. That was my attitude back in 2006. I'm just being honest with all of you. You saw me playing the game. I'm just standing there. I'm not even playing a game. I'm just moving the sticks, watching to a guy teach a message to me. This is not just playing games. These are propaganda pieces where they're trying to teach you a message. That's all there is to it. And so I'll finish the story. And back in 2006, I was playing these games 18 hours a week, playing these games I knew I really shouldn't be playing, but I'll play them for research. And I got across a game that I may have the time to talk about later that just portrayed heaven and that in such an ugly way. And you know what happened? This kind of continues from my talk from yesterday. I actually found myself angry with God. You see, because I was giving so much time to the world, and I was listening to the messages, and I was proud of myself if I read the Bible for an hour that week, and the world was winning in my own life. And so I found myself angry at God one day, and then I was like, what am I doing? Why am I angry with God? And so that's when I actually drew that chart, started evaluating what I was doing with my time each week, and I had to say, you know what, this is enough. I'm not going to give my whole life to the world anymore, and I'm going to stop. And so in the later games that you see, the research that I've done, most of it is speaking at conferences. Someone comes up to me and says, hell, man, you should check out that game. I go to YouTube. I don't have to play through 60 hours of gameplay to play through the game. I just go to YouTube, pull the clip out, and put in my talk. And because I just didn't want to give my life to the world anymore. But let's get back to Assassin's Creed. They're teaching you a message there, aren't they? See, what is this game preaching? And they are preaching a message. Listen to the quotes. I believe there's a book that claims the world was created in 7 days, a bestseller too. So let me ask you an easy one. Was the world created in 7 days? No, it wasn't. 6 days, all right. I always go in a place I say no and people freak out. Like, I thought you're Carl Kirby's son. You don't believe that? No, it's 6 days, okay? Second quote. The point, I suppose, is you shouldn't trust everything you hear, everything you read. And they're sending a direct message comparing Christians to people that believe that, you know, man never walked on the moon and all that, and trying to insult Christians in the tone of voice that they're talking. But what does the Word of God say? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. See, I want to teach our younger generation that they can trust in the Word of God. If they go in there and they start seeking out answers, they will find them. We have to get back into the Word of God. Don't let the world be the influences in our lives. That's not all in this game. The bad guy has a weapon called the Peace of Eden. What is the Peace of Eden? Well, I'll let the game explain.
You saw through the illusion.
Illusion?
That's all it's ever done. This Templar treasure, this Peace of Eden, this Word of God. Do you understand now? Red Sea was never parted. Water never turned to wine.
Okay, so this Peace of Eden is a weapon in the game, used to make people blindly follow whoever's holding it. And you see, they call it the Word of God. So that's a direct attack on the Word of God. And so what do they say in there? Oh, water never turned into wine, attacking the New Testament. The Red Sea was never parted, attacking the Old Testament. You know, they have a message. This is well thought out. You know, actually, if you play the game in Assassin's Creed 2, you can find ancient artifacts of pictures. And what's it show? It shows Jesus holding this Peace of Eden, this weapon. What's it saying? It's saying that Jesus deceived the people just using a weapon, that he really wasn't the Messiah. And they show Moses with the Peace of Eden on a staff. What's the Word of God say? Your Word is true from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So, is there any controversy with Assassin's Creed? Well, I looked all over online. I wanted to see, well, is there any group speaking out against this? Because, again, this is sometimes my sinful nature. I have to be careful. But if someone attacks me, I kind of want to attack back sometimes. And be like, stop talking about me like that. You don't know me. And I sometimes want to do that. And it is sinful nature. I need to speak the truth in love. And so I went online and I looked, is there any groups just kind of speaking out saying like, look, that's not right. Would you please stop? There wasn't. But there was one thing that they got on the news for, Fox News everywhere, and that was on an Assassin's Creed 3 DLC downloadable content. It's an addition to the game. I know I'm speaking over your heads. I'll try to explain the scene. You see, let's put the picture up there. You see George Washington, and he's holding what? The Peace of Eden. And what the whole point of the game is you have to assassinate King George, who's using the Peace of Eden to deceive the people to get him to follow. And people were ticked off. What did they do? They went on the news. They went online. They said, don't talk about one of our founding fathers like that. That's not right. And they started pulling out quotes about saying he wasn't a tyrant. This is the kind of man George Washington was. Got all over the news. And I started thinking to myself, wow. I made a little documentary just talking about Assassin's Creed. And you can see that they mock Jesus and attack the Word of God. And as a culture nowadays, we're willing to fight for George Washington. But if they mock our Lord and Savior, what do we say? It's just a game. Don't worry about it. Carl, you're making a big deal out of nothing. It's just a game. Let's say I wanted to hire a babysitter. Okay? I'm going a little bit off again. I want to hire a babysitter. So I hire this babysitter, but this babysitter is an atheist. Okay, and every day she teaches my children, God isn't real, everything you read is a lie, everything your parents have told you isn't true. Would I hire that babysitter for very long? No, she would be fired right out the door. Now, do I have anything against babysitters? No, I do not. But I'm going to make sure that if someone is watching my children, that I know what they're teaching, I know what they believe in, and because I want to make sure that I again, am the teacher of my children. But video games get a free pass sometimes, don't they? They're watching our children are playing them, and they're getting all these messages, and again, we're just ignoring it. I'm not saying video games are evil as a system, as a thing on the TV, but it's how it's being used is the problem, and the messages they're teaching. So I'm going to make sure that my children are not taught messages that are going against what I'm teaching them. And so I have to do my homework and know what is out there. What are they teaching? I'm going to teach them to critically think, and that's what it means to be a Berean. And so I want to make this lighthearted. I'm still emotional over that last talk. I really am. Paul just knocked it out of the park. Loved it. So let's lighten this up a little bit, okay? We're going to play a little game here. See, I went to a camp, and I wrote down a bunch of quotes and scriptures. And so I started asking different people, including my dad up there, is this quote from the Bible, or is it from a video game? Let's see how you guys do. So first, question not thy God, for thy God doth not respond. Is that video game or scripture? It is. It's from a game called Xenogears. What's interesting is I was doing research on YouTube on this game, and they have all these things that look like scripture, and they say, have you not read the good book? And then they have these long quotes. And I was like, I don't remember that being in the Bible. And so I would start doing my research and trying to find that and find out it wasn't in the Bible. So you have to be careful. I'm going to give you four tips on how to critically think when you play a game. First, understand just because someone uses the KJV language doesn't mean it's from the Bible. Make sure you go into the Word yourself and look it up. It can confuse you. Let's look at another example. Do unto others while they do unto you. You know what? You guys are all laughing. You're getting the answers. And this is why I love this group so much. But the tests that I take, the average score usually gives around 60%. Some of the answers are really difficult because we get confused by the language of the younger generation. If we don't know the scriptures, it can throw us off. But that is from a game called Idol Worship. And that is a game that you can download on Facebook right now. See, what they do in this game is it is filled with scriptures. Except it's not really scripture because they'll take one word and switch it. You know, it says right here, do unto others while they do unto you. They took one word, switched it, completely changed the meaning of the Bible. And see, what's scary about this game is the whole point of the game is to see how much people you can get to worship you. No joke. I'll just show you a clip. I'm going to keep it moving. I think the point is made. I mean, I've really learned so much from the speakers today about how the world is trying to make people gods. And that's what you do in this game. You see there's two little characters bowing to that little thing right here? All right. You know what you're supposed to put in there? Your actual picture of your face. And your whole point is to see how many people you can get to actually worship you throughout the game. The Bible's so clear on this. Turn ye not into idols, nor make yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall not make you no idols. And this is a common theme of the game. We have to be careful. Have to be careful what's out there. So another way that the video games will attack Scripture is they'll take actual Scripture, but twist it to change the message. Be careful. You may have heard it before, but get into the Word and make sure it's true. All right, let's do another one. He separated light from dark, making heavens with light and the earth with darkness. He named the earth. Is that from the Bible or video games? All right, I'm making this test a little too easy for you guys right now, but that is from a mobile app. But again, I don't want to assume things. People always ask me, one of the number one questions I get, are these video games intentionally going after Christians to attack them? You know what? I'm not saying they always are or they always aren't. I'll give you some examples where they are, even later in this talk, where I can get a quote from the developer. But a lot of times you have to understand the Japanese culture. I mean, there's hardly any Christians out there. And so they actually think it's kind of cool to take the Bible and use it as a backdrop for their game because it's just the cool thing to do, but they just know nothing about Scripture. So don't always take it as an attack. It's just a world out there that needs to know the truth. And we have to get out there and tell them. So don't take everything personally all the time because a lot of times it's just because they don't know the truth. And so that's our job is to speak it. Next one, though our enemies crown around us, we tread the blessed path. In a moment I will light the rings, and all who believe shall be saved. All right, you guys have gotten the pattern now. That is a video game. That is from a character named the Prophet of Truth in Halo 3. See, Halo has a... what is a halo in that game? Well, it's actually a weapon of mass destruction that these religious groups of aliens are trying to light to destroy the entire universe, portraying this religious cult Christian group as violent. And so a lot of times what you see, though, and I can show you actual games later, the villains will either quote Scripture, actual Scripture, and use it totally wrong, or quote things that sound like Scripture. So just because you hear Scripture in a video game, read the whole context, because they could be totally misusing it. Last one I'll show you. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Is that the Bible or video games? Bible, yes, and that's actually what's kind of going on in our world today, isn't it? Where they're turning the Christian characters into the bad guy, and the thing people that usually think is a bad guy, like in Grand Theft Auto, is the hero, and it's confusing our world. We don't know what's good anymore, do we? We have to get in the Scriptures to get those answers. So, let's get to the next subject, the church. How is the church portrayed in video games? If you were to look at old school video games, if you did see a church, a lot of times it's a place of healing. Again, I'm not calling old games Christian, but at least it showed the church as a positive place. But if you look at games after 1995, and you do see churches now in the ESRB era, the church is usually a place of violence. Blood rain, there's vampires in the church. Indigo, there's ghosts in the church, and again, black, there's monsters in the church, and you just see monster after monster after monster, and battle scene after battle scene in the church. The games like Call of Duty and all the war games, most of them will have a church as a battle scene. It's just common to see the church in that light. One game that was Nintendo Power's Game of the Year, Resident Evil 4, has a portrayal of a church. I'll show you that one.
You will become my puppets. Involuntarily, you'll do as I say. I'll have total control over your minds. Don't you think this is a revolutionary way to promulgate one's faith?
Sounds more like an alien invasion, if you ask me.
So again, another battle in a church, gunfight, and another story theme where Christians are brainwashing people, this time using a virus to get them to follow them. So a lot of you are thinking up there, maybe have children. All right, we get it. There's bad games out there. You're showing games that are rated M. I would never buy that for my child. You know what games I let my children play? I let them play soccer games, football games, sports games, car racing games. I am smart with what I pick. Stop attacking me. I'm not attacking. I really am not. I hope that doesn't come across. I am saying that the messages are coming everywhere, and we have to be ready for it and be prepared with the Word of God on our side. I think when we watch television, when we play a video game, when we do anything with music, we should have that Bible right next to us. That's my personal opinion. We have to be prepared and be ready. But you may say, you know what? I play football games, and when I do, I play as Tim Tebow. All right, I'm a clean gamer. I'm careful. But even in a football game, they can have messages in them. It's coming everywhere nowadays.
Every Sunday, when America goes to church, we go to war. While they pray for salvation, we play for some fights. This is our cathedral. The game is our religion. And every religion has a judgment day.
Okay. I'm going to be, I forgot to give you my little disclaimer, and halfway through the talk's not a good time to do this, but all these scenes that I showed you, I've edited them down, and I've tried to pick the cleanest of the clean scenes, believe it or not, okay, in these games. Because the last thing I want to do is show a clip from something really bad, and then a gamer be in here and be like, oh, that game looks cool. I'm going to go buy it. Thank you. So if you guys walk out with your children out of the room, I totally understand. My feelings will not be hurt, okay, not at all. But when I put this talk together, I was like, well, do I talk about it? Do I not? It was such a hard decision to make, but I just felt like, you know what? We have to be aware of what's going on out there. So please don't think I'm trying to do shock value by showing these clips. I'm just trying to show you what messages are being thrown out there. This is something new in our culture that the technology is always changing. We just haven't kept up with it. I mean, listen to these messages. The game is our religion. Now, let me be fair. That's not from Madden Football. That's from a game called Blitz the League 2. And so that game was edgier and tried to go after a harder crowd. But I just wanted to make the point, you know what, even if it's a sports game, which I'll show Madden in a second, there's stuff in there. We have to be ready for it. And so I love coming. This conference has been such a blessing to my wife and I. Thank you for bringing this out. You know, when you get believers together like this, behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. And that's what I feel when I'm with other believers. So don't let the world tell you that the church is a place of violence and I can show you game after game after game that will portray that. Don't believe that lie. But Madden, I mentioned that. It's only fair that I actually talk about it. Now, Madden is one that's being used in churches a lot. I understand it's a cleaner game. It's football. It doesn't sneak in messages. But have you ever thought about what's going on with your ears? You see, there's music going on in those games, and they do have messages everywhere. I mean, let's read the lyrics from Madden 11. Let it rock. I see your dirty face hide behind your collar. What is done in vain? Truth is hard to swallow. So you pray to God to justify the way. You live a lie. Live a lie. Live a lie. Everywhere, guys. It's everywhere. We have to be prepared and have answers for it. You know, I don't want my son playing a game and he's being told, oh, you pray to God, so you're living a lie, living a lie, and being told that. Now, I also want to give answers. You can actually take your own music. You can download it to many video game consoles today. You can upload your music, and then when you play a game like Madden Football, you can actually switch their music with your own music. So I also want to give you tools if you need help, and that's what my ministry is here for. It's not just to say, you know what, there's some dangerous stuff out there, but also give you tools on how to take control of it in your own households. What do you spend your time doing? How much time are you doing? But what are some tools to help you avoid some things you may not want to hear or see in your household? Christians. How are Christians portrayed? Well, before 1995, the Christian is usually portrayed as a hero. Games like Final Fantasy, where they have a priest in a white cloth and a dragon warrior. Again, not Christian games, don't read me wrong, but the Christian-type characters, at least, were fighting evil. But if you do see a Christian in a video game today, most of the time, they're portrayed as a villain. I can give you plenty of examples. I talked about Halo 3 already with the Christian alien priest-like character. A gun. They actually quote scripture in that game as a do horrible things. Fallout 3, the Christians are portrayed as cannibals in that game. Bioshock Infinite is just filled with things about Christians. And this is one I'm going to try to edit the best I can, but there's a game called The Binding of Isaac. This game was released on the PC, Mac, on the Steam network. And I'm going to cut this short because, again, I don't want to just show anything for shock, but this is a game that my friend sent to me in an email and said, Carl, you got to check out what's going on. And I watched it, and it moved me to tears. I was just so upset. And I'll show you why in a second.
Isaac and his mother lived alone in a small house on a hill. Isaac kept to himself, drawing pictures and playing with his toys as his mom watched Christian broadcasts on the television. Life was simple. and they were both happy. That was until the day Isaac's mom heard a voice from above. Your son has become corrupted by sin. He needs to be saved.
All right, I'm going to just mute this out because I don't want to listen to it anymore. It does make me emotional. It really does. But the whole point of this game is you're a little boy with a crazy Christian mom, and she's trying to kill you, and the whole game you spend running away from her. And that's the whole point of the game. Now, I really, like I said, I just try to show you the good in games. If you ask me about specific games, the bad, people sometimes want to treat me like a video game priest. Oh, I bless this game, you may play it. No, don't ask me for answers. Okay, go to the Word of God. Decide as a family to find answers. Okay, so I'm not some video game priest, but I will say this. The Bible's clear. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. And that game right there, it's evil. The game advertises itself as 110% evil. We've got to stay away from it. So I will speak out on that. Now, this game was banned by Nintendo. So Nintendo is still a little bit more strict than the other companies. The expansion Wrath of the Lamb was recently released. There were over 2 million copies sold as of last year. So I'm not just showing you some game that no one's ever heard of. The creator wants to get on the next-gen systems. He had no idea it would be so successful. Let's take a look at a little quote from him. I wanted to make a roguelike game using the Legend of Zelda dungeon structure, and I wanted to make a game about my relationship with religion. You see, he talked about his own upbringing in an interview and said, you know what, the church only taught me violence and evil, and so that's a good I learned from the church, and I wanted to make a game talking about the horrible things I had growing up. Look at another quote from the guy who created this game. A lot of the content in Isaac is extremely dark and adult. It touches on the aspects of child abuse, gender identity, infanticide, neglect, suicide, abortion, and how religion might negatively affect a child. So don't think that all this is these guys are saying, you know what? We are using this form to talk about the things and messages we want to share out there. And it's going on, guys. It really is. No controversy on Binding of Isaac. You know what the controversy was? Well, why did Nintendo ban it? Nintendo, you have no right to filter someone and to censor anyone. And so I looked online, I was like, no one's speaking out? And I did find one case where a bunch of people came out and protested a game called Dante's Inferno. And so you can see them holding these signs of my high score is in heaven and trade in your PlayStation for a PlayStation and all these cheesy signs. And I was like, okay, well, I guess someone's speaking out about it. You know what? Front page of the news. I was reading about that. Saw it on Fox News. You know, 2 weeks later, saw an article. It's somewhere on the fifth page of the news. All these people you see up there? Actors. They're not even real. They were hired by EA, the publishing company, to protest the game so they could get the game on the news. But no one actually really cared that the game was coming out. Call of Juarez. I'm going to be honest with you. You see, the year 2007, this was a time when I started playing all the games for research purposes because I wanted to play all the games. And I was actually getting burnt out on a lot of the evil and the gangster games. So I said, you know what? I'm going to play a cowboy game. All right? I like the old cowboy movies, and it might be better for me. So I bought a game called Call of Juarez. And in this game, I found out, you control a character named Reverend Ray, a former outlaw turned preacher. And in between each scene, you actually get a prayer scene. And I'll show you one as an example.
How dare he end a life as righteous as my brother's? If I could, I would kill him. Lord, is that what you want from me? To be your sword? I've spent 20 years preaching to hyenas and wolves. But maybe there are some who are beyond redemption. Is that what you're telling me, Lord? To destroy those who cannot be saved? Is that what you want? Then that is how I will serve you.
Now, I actually didn't record past this, but if you were to go a little bit longer, you start quoting scripture that I actually thought was from the Bible, and then did a little bit more research later. It was, but they changed a couple words again. You see, that's not even the most offensive part of the game where you play an outlaw just trying to kill people and use God to justify it. You know, again, I'll try to keep my language clean throughout the talk the best I can. But that's not the most offensive part. You see, in this game, you get two weapons. The first weapon you get is the Bible. You're like, what is that? You pick up the Bible, and whenever you press the right trigger button, the character starts reading. from the Bible. And I'm like, that's a little weird. I've never seen a game do that. Then you pick up a second weapon. You know what that second weapon is? It's a pistol. So what do the developers want you to do? They want you to go around and read the Bible to people. What happens? The characters who are trying to shoot at you, they start feeling guilt and they put their guns down. Now what do the developers want you to do? An armed man. I mean, it's just, how is this portraying the Word of God, which I want my child to love so much? I mean, listen to these quotes. If I could, I would kill him, Lord. Is that what you want for me, to be your sword? And this is actually a quote from the game. They say, vengeance is mine, before he does something in the game. But if you were to actually look at the entire verse, it's a beautiful verse. It says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. Don't avenge, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. That's what God is saying. You don't have to have that. I will take it. I will repay, saith the Lord. And so we have this twisting of Scripture in the culture today where they're taking things out of context, and we have to be careful. Because if you hear quotes like that throughout the game, you're going to think, man, the Scripture's a pretty ugly thing, isn't it? Well, yeah, if you misuse it, it is. We'll keep going because there's a lot I do want to touch on. The devil. Before 1995, if you see the devil in a game, he is actually portrayed as an enemy in most cases. But nowadays, if you see the devil in a game, a lot of times he's portrayed as a hero. Devil May Cry 4, you actually have a church scene where you're worshiping the devil in that game. Guitar Hero 3, you play the guitar with the devil. El Shaddai, the devil is God's best friend in that game. There's a lot of games portraying the devil as the hero nowadays. Now let's look at one example. This is an example. I didn't know if I'd have time to get to it today. That made me quit playing all the games. Saying, you know what? I can't give myself to the world anymore. I'm done. And this is a game that made me do it. It's called Shin Megami Tensei. You see, in this game, you can pick either one of these two guys to partner up with. And so initially, you look at it, that guy on the right is pretty creepy. I'm not going to team up with him. So initially, I said, you know what? I want to help that guy on the left. You know who I just teamed up with? Louis Cipher. Say that real quick. Lucifer. You know what the character on the right's named? YHWH. They actually took the name of Yahweh and used it as a character. They're doing the research. And so I just picked the devil's side. You know the story of this game? Well, the God character, the world's ending, and he's made this paradise, and he's only letting a few in. So you have to team up with Louis Cipher to take him out to save everyone. And that's the point of the game. It's published by a company called Atlas. And this game has published hundreds of games with anti-Christian symbolism and messages in them. The Shin Megami Tensei is huge in Japan and is initially banned in America due to its very strong religious messages. So Nintendo, especially before 1995, said, you know what, we don't want to go there. They did get a lot of games early on into America. Trauma Center is one of them. This is a game that after I was done playing all those bad games, I said, you know what, maybe I'll give this game a chance. You're a doctor in the game. You know what, that's plain, right? Well, it was actually, I didn't realize it, published by this company, Atlas. And so you learn something called the healing touch. And what do? You draw a pentagram to draw your power. And the main bad guy in this game is named Adam, who will quote actual scripture and is releasing a virus attacking the people. And so you have to stop this Christian character from destroying the world. I can't talk about everything today. We heard that quote about suicide and that being a common theme in games. And I have a whole documentary on that subject. And it's a subject I don't want to talk about, to be honest. This is one of the games that show it, and you see the act as a way to summon demons to help you out. That's all I'm going to tell you about the game. So they interviewed the guy that helped get this published in America, and they said, man, that's some bad stuff you had in there. Weren't you worried about parents getting angry? And this is how he responded. There was never any Jack Thompsoning. That's a guy who's in the Senate who has been after video games for a long time. We didn't get any letters from concerned parents. Not one. We don't care. We are ignoring this part of the culture for some reason. If this were happening in movies, I bet they'd get some letters. If this were happening in any other media, but for some reason, video games get a free pass. Why? Because as adults in here, we just say, we don't understand it. It's confusing. Who cares? It's just a game. We have to be aware. We have to be aware and get the word out. DemiKids. This game is rated E for everyone. Remember I said, the ratings, stop sex, language, and violence. They don't touch on the messaging games. You see, this game, you befriend a guy, that character right there, you know what they call him? They actually call him Lucifer in the game. That's the name of the character. And his world's about to be destroyed, so he sends one of his demons to an elementary school to recruit some kids to help save his world. So in this whole game, you befriend Satan and you try to save his world with him. This is a game that's like Pokemon. It's a little kid game geared towards elementary students. And so in the game, you pick up a book of spells. And what you learn in the game, they actually show real chance on how to summon a demon in the game. I just can't imagine, you know, a parent going to a video game store and they say, "Hey, Junior, you want to buy a game? Go ahead, pick something out." And they pick up this game. Looks friendly enough. There's little cartoon characters on it. "Hey, Mommy, I want to play this." She looks at the back. "Oh, it's E for Everyone. Okay, you can play that. That's made for preschoolers." He goes home. He's on the handheld system and he's learning how to chant demonic spells. And Mom's in the kitchen, has no idea. Parents, let's do our research before we buy anything for our kids. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, a lot of times, the way he should go is literally according to his way. We have to know how our children learn and teach them in that way. But, you know what? I think the world knows that as well. And so they're using video games to try and train up a child in a whole different direction. You see, I told you Shin Megami Tensei was banned from America. Well, DemiKids, if you look at very small letters, it says Shin Megami Tensei on it. What they did is they rebranded the game to go after elementary students. And now, if you were to go to the store today, all the games made by Atlus are in the stores. They've made it to our culture. I can't touch on everything today. I'm going to talk about God. God, if you saw him in a game, Actraiser 1 and 2, he's portrayed as a hero. Again, not biblical, but the times have changed. After 1995, if you see God, he's portrayed as a hateful God. Dragon Quest IX shows that. Shin Megami Tensei. You know, I did research for my dad back when I was doing research for him on a game called The Adventures of Darwin. And I was like, you know what, my dad may be able to use some of the evolution in that game, which it did have a lot. But it had something else that totally hit me by surprise. You see, the final boss in that game has a crown of thorns over his head. And God is the final God, quotation marks, is the final boss in that game. And you see, not the God that we would know of if we read our scriptures. In tens of thousands of years, I will visit this planet again, and at that time, I look forward to see how you all are doing. So you evolve as a monkey to a man throughout the game. You have to defeat God at the end of the game, and he gives you a present. What's the present that God gives you? You think it'd be good, right? No. The God in this game gives you a pistol. So what do you find out later? You look in the future, and all the monkey men, they go and they kill themselves in the game, and so God can create a whole new world. It's some ugly, ugly stuff. And this is a game that was rated E10. That's a PG video game geared towards children. How is he portrayed in this game? He's an imperfect designer. We're just a mistake. That's how they portray God in that game. They show him as a hateful God, wanting to destroy what he created because he felt it was a flaw. You know what? You may hear the quote, "I keep messing up," but if you were to read the scriptures, you would see, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield, a buckler to all those that trust in him. The first talk was a setup for this. We're seeing the message that one media, which is spreading to all medias, if you watch any other media, is spreading to our culture today. Who are we going to spend our time with? Who are we going to give our time to? We can't give all our time to this world anymore. It will influence us. It will. What if a video game company made a game about your mom? Think about that. What if a game company made a game about your mother? And so, but they don't just show your mother. They show her as evil, a liar. And everything you see in those games, they talk about your mother in that way. Would you speak out? Would it upset you? Yeah, it would. Why? Because she's your mother. And you love her. And you know she's real. Why am I up here today? Because I got tired of ignoring it. I got tired of saying it's just a game. I saw game after game after game talking about my God. And I had to ask myself, is he real? Do I love him? I'll speak out again for my mother, but if it's God, I just ignore it. I say it's just a game. Who cares? It doesn't matter. No. I'm up here today because I love God. He's real. I have a relationship with him. I am going to speak out. This is a game that I get asked more than any other game. It's called Minecraft. I guess I'll try to explain it the best you can. I want to show you the good and the bad. Okay, the good It's actually a very creative game. I call it a digital canvas. Okay, you take, it's like Legos, but in the digital world. And you can do so much creative things, and I like it. But you know what? What I do want to tell you is, well, just because it's rated M, it's bad, and if it's E, it's good. No. Messages are everywhere nowadays, so what are you going to do? And I'll talk about your three options in a second, but there are things I'd be concerned with. I mean, they do have the scary bad guys in them. You can turn them off, turn them on, but be aware of how to control that. They do have a portrayal of something that looks a lot like hell. So you do have to, they call it the underworld. They actually changed the name last second when they released the game. But you know what? Tom McMahon actually taught me a lot in this clip I'm about to show you. I would love it if he was up here talking, maybe during questions and answers. He might break it down more for us. But at the end of the game, they slide something in there. You take a game that really has a lot of creative and neat stuff in there that I like, but the world will find a way to sneak in a message. So you may review the game, look at it, say it's Legos, it's great, my child can play it. But they will put stuff in there. At the end of the game. Put the volume down, sorry. They do have an ending scene, and this is what it says. And the universe said, I love you. And the universe said, you played the game well. And the universe said, everything you need is within you. And the universe said, you are stronger than you know. And the universe said, the light you seek is within you. And the universe said, you are not alone. And the universe said, you are not separate from every other thing. And the universe said, I love you because you are love. Now, there is a movement in our church today. This is just flat out New Age, this whole ending is. But a lot of the people in the church will say, you know what, Carl, you're looking too deep into it. The universe represents God. It's a Christian game. No, it's not. Because let me read on. And the game was over. And the player, talking about the person playing the game, woke up from the dream. And the player began a new dream. And the player dreamed again. Dreamed better. And the player was the universe. And the player was love. You are the player. Wake up. There's a message even in Minecraft. And we can break this down. The whole ending is like 5 minutes long of all just New Age stuff. And we can break it down and say, you know what? When the game says the universe tells you you are love, the Bible says God is love. Ignore that. You can say that, well, the game says the universe tells you everything you need is within you. The Bible reminds us that God knows what we need and gives it to us. Read the scriptures. You will find answers. We find our strength through Christ. Now I'm going to quote. Because I did get a request. Can you talk about Star Wars? Can you talk about Minecraft? Can you talk about this? That whole ending scene was actually added later in the game, which is interesting. It was an update to the game. So a lot of people that bought the game early on actually had a cleaner version. And then all of a sudden they put stuff in there. And so the ending philosophy of Minecraft was actually written by Julian Goh. And I'm quoting Mr. McMahon here. With the full approval of Marcus Persson, the game's creator. Goh notes, by the end of it, I actually felt like I was taking dictation from the universe. Now, I'm sure there are many ways of interpreting that experience that don't require cosmic voices from unknown entities to be talking to each other, but it actually did feel like I was taking dictation. So perhaps it was real wisdom in the story. Who knows? As a huge fan of Joseph Campbell, the man who inspired the creation of the religion of the Force in the Star Wars series, Goh sees the same potential for video games. I think computer games can serve the function of religion. They can do good bits that religion used to do, and hopefully not do the bad bits. Obviously, the religion Goh promotes, and that is influenced in seducing millions of Minecraft players, is Eastern mysticism, Hinduism, pantheism, and not biblical Christianity. Read the article on the Berean Call website where he dives in deeper and pray for us. We'd love to break it down even more because Minecraft, you go to any homeschool convention, see any Christian family, that is the number one game out there right now. Now, I'm not looking to ban and burn, but hopefully you take those pieces I just told you and use it to teach your children. Because if we remain silent, the world will do the speaking for us, and we can't let that happen anymore. Clash of Clans, World of Warcraft, I've gotten that multiple times here. Farmville, Candy Crush Saga, what do all these games have in common? You know, I don't go into the subject a lot because I do focus on the messages, but all these games were designed to addict. Anyone that plays any mobile game, okay, you'll see this in almost all the mobile games. You download it for free. You're like, cool, a free game. I love this thing. And so what happens? You start playing a game. You get a bunch of rewards early on. And you're building things so much. You build things quick. And then things slow down. And then you have to start waiting. And the only way to speed things up again is to dish out more money. Real money. So it's free at first. They get you hooked on it, get the rush going excited, and then you have to start paying real money in order to have that speed and that fun come back again. All those games have that in common. So we do have to be careful. Free isn't free. That's the truth. So I do get emotional. I ask myself, why do video games target Christians? Sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's not. But we have to open our eyes and say, you know what? That's the world we're living in nowadays. The Bible says in Luke 21:17, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. That's why I respect the Berean call. They're not afraid of what the world says. They understand that. They're going to speak the truth in love. The world's going to hate them, but they're going to keep speaking. If you're of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Amen. That's what's going on. So I just have to deal with it. But I am going to speak the truth in love. So we have to do three things. First of all, we need to know it. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Acts 17:11. We love that scripture. We have to be Bereans. We have to dig in, find answers. But we have to do something. You can know all the answers in your head all day long, but if you don't do anything with what you're learning in the Scriptures and don't start living it, it's pointless. So finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, just, pure, people ask me, well, what do you think about video games? Compare it to Philippians 4:8, and it will give you an answer a lot of times. Think on those things. Read that Scripture. Let's not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. Let's be different. Finally, you need to start sharing it. You see, some of you in here are like, why did I hear about video games? Now you know why. I'm trying to give you some pieces of conversation that you can have with your grandchildren, with your children, with your loved ones. I've given you some great conversation pieces. You can say, you know what? This is a message the world's feeding you, but what does the Word of God say? And we need to start doing that. Give answers. And this is a condemnation that light is coming to the world. We need to start being the light. And men love darkness rather than light. Isn't that true? Because deeds were evil. So parents, again, I don't want to just state problems. I also want to try to give you some answer solutions. That's what I'm around for. I want to try to help you in this walk because, unfortunately, we can't hide from the world nowadays. It's everywhere. We cut one thing out, another thing will come up. That's just our world, isn't it? So, first of all, if you are going to have games in your house, okay, understand the ratings. That does help when it comes to sex, language, violence, and mature games. Not perfect, not at all, but it does help. So the ESRB.org is where the ratings started. Know that your children know what your children are playing and who they are playing with. Now, that's the thing about online gaming. I remember I used to be banned from chat rooms, but all these games nowadays on their cell phones and a lot of these games are on the World Wide Web. You can't rate that and you can't check the conversations on that. So just be aware of online gaming and know the dangers of it. And if you're going to have that in your household, you better know who your children are playing with. Do your research. Hopefully I've given you a good starting point today. Berean Call will help you, especially with those answers on how to go back to Scripture. My ministry, I do want to give you some tools. And so you email me, you Facebook me, and if I have a way that I can help, again, don't ask me to tell you if it's right or wrong, but if I can help and give you some pieces, I want to do that. And understand there are other options. If you go into a store and they said, Mom, I want to buy this game, but you know that that game is not appropriate for your family, well, play a different game instead or do something else instead. You don't have to buy the game just because your children ask for it. Gamers, you know what? I do play games still. After all that, I do play games. But you know what? I watch what I play, who I play with, and I do my research now for sure. And I want to give God the time. But ask yourselves, how much time do you spend playing video games? Are you giving God more or less time? Do you feel comfortable with the games you are playing? Would you play the games with children sitting in the room? If you keep saying, you know what, I can't let the children sit and watch them play this game, you're probably playing something you shouldn't. With your parents sitting next to you, what about Jesus? Would you play that game still? If you don't feel comfortable playing something, which I have plenty of stories on that if I had time, don't. Walk away. Get rid of it. You don't have to play something. Understand the world does have an agenda. It does. And you must be in God's Word to find the truth. Three responses I'm going to get out of you guys today. First, you're going to say, you know what? I'm getting rid of these games. I don't want to let my children play these games anymore because I don't want to support these messages. There's a much more God-honoring way to spend my money and my time. That's one response I may get. Response number two, I'm getting a response. Play with your eyes wide open. Thank you for letting us know about these messages in these games. I'm going to sit down with my children. I'm going to have a Bible study with them. I'm going to get into the Word. I'm going to spend more time with them. I want to make sure that they know the truth so they're prepared next time a message is thrown at them. Response number three I may get, Carl, it's just a game. Stop making a big deal out of it. Let me challenge you with this. I don't want to tell you what to do, but I'll tell you what not to do. Don't be response number three. Don't be. Don't ignore it. Get into the words. Find answers. Make decisions as a family. I told you about my first memory playing Mario games. Am I mad at my mother that that was my first memory? Not at all. It's kind of funny. Okay, I told a joke out of it. But I do have two children now, Trey and Naomi. Trey's 4 years old, Naomi's two. And they're at home with Grandma, and I miss them a lot. But if you met my son Trey, he wants to be just like Daddy. He eats the same food as I do. He walks the same way I do. And he wants to be just like Daddy. And I thought to myself, what if? I just said, it's just a game, who cares, it's not a big deal. And I let my son play whatever he wanted. And what if I let him play Call of Juarez? And that became his first memory. I wanted to love the Word of God, and that game, the way it portrays the Word of God, is ugly. I'd be mad at myself, wouldn't I? I wouldn't like that. No joke. When I started doing research on this game, I was just blown away with what I was finding. I had no idea this world, the gaming culture had become what it had. And so I started talking to another father, and I said, man, you won't believe what I'm finding. And I started telling him about game after game, and he was actually laughing, thinking it was pretty funny. And then I talked about Call of Juarez, and his face went from laughter to just dead straight. And I was like, oh, I did it again. I went too far. I offended someone. I said, you know what? If I said something that offended you, I'm sorry. I really didn't mean to do that. And he said, no, Carl, no, that's not it at all. You know that game you just talked about, Call of Juarez? I just bought that for my 6-year-old son. I had no idea. We have to do our research and find answers. Let us pray. Lord, we live in a world that's getting darker.
Do you feel like you're being attacked from a side you didn't know you had? Kids don't want to play the kids' games. I don't have the exact statistics. It was too hard to narrow it down. But tens of millions of dollars are spent in developing these games with the expected return of hundreds of millions of dollars. The tantalizing ones are the popular ones, right? So like I said in the intro, to stay away from or to be able to keep from the immorality, you can use the rating system for the spiritual deception. You're pretty much on your own. Now, on the video, you see he does have a website and he's done research for you. So, I mean, there is a resource there. All right, as I studied for this intro, I briefly looked into some of the more popular game worlds, and there were two scriptures that describe these worlds, the first being 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1, and the other Romans 1, verses 28 through 32, which I felt more accurately described these worlds that I was seeing. And I will repeat those if you want to write them down before I'm done. I intended to read from Romans, but I've been led to leave that kind of teaching to our pastor. It was more admonishing than I think I've been given the ability to do. I will say that the primary goals of these games is self-gain, self-satisfaction, and self-gratification, no matter what the consequence to others. You could argue the same about Monopoly, but you have now seen the difference, right? We know that we have liberty, right? And we know that Paul tells us that all things are lawful. But one must consider if something can be at all helpful if its objective seems to be to violate most of God's Ten Commandments. In the handout this morning, Pastor Kevin picked this verse, 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 17. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing these things to us. I pray that the hearts of those who were innocently unaware of the depths of the deceptions found in a game have been blessed with enough understanding to guard their hearts and homes against it. I pray that those who might play these games would consider what they put before their eyes and their ears and heart. And this prayer can't be just about games or the young people, as we are all children in your eyes. And there are so many things in this world that are contrary to your will and equally unhelpful. I pray, Lord, that you would consider also the... I pray that they would also consider the effect that these things have on the people around them and their witness for you. Lord, we know that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. We know that you saved him from the destruction of that wicked place. We also know the burden his choice to stay near that place had on his family and Abraham, that Abraham would ask you so many different ways, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? I pray that none of us would choose as Lot chose. We must marvel at, through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross, our sins are forgiven. That if we have righteousness, it is through Christ in us. And through that faith and your grace, you will save. In Jesus' name. Let's stand and worship.
Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above, and He's looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's a Father up above, and He's looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. There's a Father up above, and He's looking down in love. So be careful, little hands, what you do.
Well, it's a simple children's song, but with all that the world has to offer us these days, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's important to remember those words. Amen?
Amen.
May the God of all comfort go with you guys this week as you're a light and a witness for Him, and just love one another. God bless you as you go.
The teaching that you just heard from Carl Kirby Jr. was originally recorded at the Berean Call Conference in Bend, Oregon, on August 30th of 2014. If you would like to get the entire teaching on video, you can contact thebereancall.org and order the teaching from Carl Kirby that was titled, It's Not Just a Game. You can also get hold of Carl Kirby directly by going to his website, apollomedia.org, APOLOMEDIA.org, or by calling him at 859-652-1485. I hope his study was a blessing, even though you weren't able to see the video portion, which adds emphasis to many of the points that he made. May God bless you, keep you, protect you from the things that are coming upon us as you desire to serve the Lord Jesus until He comes. God bless you.